You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To start us off, what do you believe are the three most pressing issues facing Auckland City, and what skills or experience do you have that you believe makes you the best positioned candidate to address them?
Well, the three that are coming out most consistently in all of the discussions I've been having across the region, the first one is transport and congestion. The second one is crime. And then the third one is it's probably a bit of an even mix between the accountability and performance of Auckland Council and Auckland Transport and that group of organisations with housing and infrastructure. So they're the main issues that are coming up consistently across the region and might vary a little bit depending on the group, but those are the ones that continue to come up.
And what experience and skills do you believe you have that makes you one of the best or the best positioned candidates to address all of these or some of these issues?
Yeah. So I've had a really interesting career across the public, private and not-for-profit sectors. So I've had been involved in small business, medium and large at chief executive level, and I've also chaired boards and been on boards. So I've had both management and governance experience. The other thing is that I have worked in Auckland and Wellington, so I'm familiar with how Wellington and the sort of government side works in terms of liaison with ministers and ministers' offices. I've also, I've done that in both cities, but I am familiar with how Wellington works. And I've also worked with, in both cities, with mayors, mayoral officers, mayoral officers and officials. So I've got broad experience, which I think is really important in a role like this, because ultimately you're the champion for Auckland. You need to care a lot about Aucklanders and understand their various needs. You need to be able to work well with people who are elected, because you're only one of 21 votes around that council table. You need to be able to drive the performance that's needed through both Auckland Council and the council-controlled organisations, and you need to be able to work constructively and well with central government to make sure that Auckland has its fair share of resources and that there is really good planning for things like infrastructure.
One of these pressing but sort of contentious issues this election season that you've mentioned that's been highly debated is transport. Questions around how to increase efficiency, connectivity, while being mindful of its climate impacts.
Yes.
What is your plan to address these transport needs?
Well, on the public transport side, I am keen to open up public transport to more people more affordably and faster. So I would halt the light rail project, which is sort of a mega project in one part of the city, and I'm looking to build on the success of the Northern Busway and make some improvements there, but also build a rapid transit connection between the city centre and Westgate. Similarly, the airport to Botany, and improvements along the isthmus so that it does cover that broad light rail route. But basically the principle for me is affordable, deliverable and practical. So I want to see more people benefit from public transport faster. I do think we need a balanced investment across all modes, and I think we do need to see the electrification of the fleet as quickly as possible in terms of reducing emissions, and also in terms of congestion, because bearing in mind a lot of Aucklanders are still reliant on vehicles, I think there are opportunities to do some smaller things that will help reduce things like idling, which do have an impact on emissions. So basically for me, it's about balanced investment across all modes, but the rapid transit is an important part in terms of migrating people, ideally from cars, and we've seen that happen on the Northern Busway. And for that reason, I don't actually support free public transport for all. I do think subsidising it for over 65s, for people on community service cards and students is important, but I don't think free for all is actually going to, based on international evidence, is actually going to drive a lot of people out of cars, because what matters most is that we have a public transport service that is actually reliable, frequent, and gets as many people as possible where they need to go when they need to get there. So my approach is to put the investment into the service itself rather than making it free for everyone.
So you've mentioned increasing affordability, and you mentioned some segments of the population that you believe it needs to be subsidised for, such as over 65s, students, but not free for all. How would you increase affordability for most Aucklanders to, you know, alleviate some of these costs of transport that people are identifying as a problem without making it free for all?
Well, I think part of that will be around the provision of the service. I've also signalled that I think the fuel tax should go. I think that's been an unfair tax on people at the petrol pump. And whilst, you know, the aim of public transport is that more people, it's accessible for people, on the other hand, we know there are a lot of people that are still reliant on vehicles. So taking that tax away is one of the things I'd like to see happen. And I think it also comes down to the efficiency of the operations. And that sort of leads into one of the other priorities, because there is a lot of concern around wastage and not listening to the needs of communities in terms of how the public money is spent. And that will be a big focus, because I do think those organisations, they are publicly funded organisations, they do have to listen to community needs. They need to be very efficient and they need to avoid waste. And I'm getting feedback across the region with examples of waste, and I've experienced that myself. So a big focus will be really how those organisations, the council and the council group, become a lot more cost effective.
So you mentioned electrifying the bus fleet as one way to make transport more sustainable in Auckland, yet you don't believe that the fuel tax is justifiable, and you still believe that there's some substantial place for bars and that sort of thing. How do you believe that electrifying the bus fleet without necessarily trying to move people away from private vehicles will substantially impact climate emissions from transport?
Oh, look, I think at the end of the day, we've got to be practical about how we transition, because of the geographic shape of our region. It won't be feasible to have everybody moving onto public transport, and certainly not in the near term. I think I've got another policy that will be released soon that will cover emissions, and so I've got more to come on this. But I, you know, obviously having people move to low or no emission fuels is important. That's not something council directly controls, but it can certainly be involved in initiatives that encourage that. So I do think emission targets, achievement of emission targets is important. What I'm saying is that we have to be realistic that not everybody has access to public transport, not everybody can cycle or walk, and so there is an element of transition. But low and no emission fuels is an important part of that. I also think that one of the things with my rapid bus plan is that that will give us room for flexibility in terms of future options around, you know, electric or other fueled emission autonomous vehicles based on app demands and demand apps and things. So I can see significant change over the period ahead, but the reality right now is that a lot of Aucklanders still do need to use a vehicle. And ideally those fuels would change, but it will come down to individual decisions around that.
How substantial of a part do you think that cycleways and cycling must play in this sort of semi-transition away from private vehicles, but, you know, a holistic approach to transport? Do you think that more investment is needed in cycling infrastructure, as some have called for?
Well, I think getting more people on bikes is good for congestion, emissions and public health. So I think it's an important part of the picture. But I think the reality is the investment needs to be made sensibly. And I think what we've got at the moment is a lot of concern in some communities around the cost of some of the cycleways and how they're being utilised. So I think there's more that I'll need to say on that as well. But I do think as a general principle, cycling is an important part of the mix, but it's just we have to be practical once again in terms of how we allocate that investment.
Another topic on many Aucklanders' minds is housing. Many are concerned about the high costs of housing and the relative lack of new developments. What would you do as mayor to address the issue of Auckland housing?
Well, I think most people agree that we do need to have safe and dry housing for people, and in my view, we do need to speed that up. I think the unitary plan has provided for about 900,000 zoning for 900,000 homes. I think that we do need to ensure that council plays its part in enabling that to speed up. I think it is also important that we make sure that the quality of living is good, and there will be a range, obviously, of price points, but I think we have to be careful that we don't lose sight of important things like playgrounds for kids and infrastructure that goes with housing. And I think that's one of the things at the moment that is an issue, because I'm seeing some intensified housing that it does not have sufficient consideration given to the infrastructure. So I think we do need to get a lot better at how we plan for both, and how council plays its role in speeding up the building. It's only part of the picture, but we do need affordable, warm, safe housing for people. That is important. But I am concerned with some of the changes that are put up at the moment, because we have got provision for sufficient homes. They just need to be built. We have to be careful that we don't destroy the quality of life for people in the process.
So you mentioned the unitary plan and more zoning for medium density housing across especially the centre city. How do you believe more housing could be developed while maintaining these high standards of living that you're talking about?
What I'm saying is I think the quality standards are important. So one of the risks with this legislation is basically it cuts out some of the planning rules. So I think we've got to be careful that we don't build housing that does not have quality of life. So, and I'm even thinking about things like sunshine for people, access to parks, particularly for kids to play. I think the other thing is around adequate infrastructure. I mean, there are genuine concerns at the moment that we might be sort of putting more and more housing into places that don't have adequate roading, don't have adequate pipes. Those are the sorts of things that I think we have to be careful of. And the unitary plan did provide zoning for homes. And I know there is a lot of community concern out there at the moment that we're going to be putting homes into areas that are not able to sustain the volume. And I think that is concerning, because I have seen housing that's being built that's extremely close to the road, close to the next house. I'm an apartment dweller myself. I'm used to that type of living. But I don't think when you've got homes without infrastructure, with concerns about how emergency services will get to places, that's not good for the future. So I think that we have to just be careful that we're planning and building and putting infrastructure in place that is good for the future of the city.
In a post-COVID Auckland, there has been much discussion of the city being in some sort of decline, with many believing the mayor and council will need to have some kind of a plan to revitalise the city, particularly the inner city. What do you see to be the biggest barriers when it comes to the centre city's recovery from COVID, and how would you propose to bring people, business and confidence back to the city streets?
Well, I think fundamentally we need to have, I think safety is important. I think it's across Auckland we've got really concerning levels of crime right now. And so I think safety is important. I think access is important. And we have been seeing the transformation of the city centre. Unfortunately, part of that, and while people really enjoy some of the new spaces that are created, all the construction and access issues that others are experiencing is not conducive to some people coming in right now. So it's important it's safe, welcoming, accessible. I think it's important that we continue to have reasons for people to come, and sometimes things like events do help, and that's good for areas across Auckland as well. That makes a difference. I think in terms of the central city, it would also be good to have more people living here, because there is accommodation, and I think if we started to see more people living here, that will need infrastructure like schools as well, but at the end of the day, that is an opportunity. So I think what we've seen in some of the other cities internationally is that local government and council and central governments have actually put investment into bringing people back into the central city. So one immediate thing that would make a difference, for example, would be to have more Auckland council and transport and CCO staff back in the central city, because that makes an enormous difference to the businesses. So I think having people back is important. We did, pre-COVID, have a very vibrant nighttime economy. And, you know, it's important that we... And I don't only mean hospitality and bars and concerts. I mean plays and arts and cultural events. I mean shift workers having a safe environment, able to get a meal when they want it, when they finish work. All of those sorts of things are important for revitalising the central city and other town centres.
How might bringing more people back to live in the centre city increase the sort of safety or perception of safety in the area? Do you believe that having more people around might, you know, contribute to the solution?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even pre-COVID, I recall the environment where you could go out and feel quite safe because there were lots of people around. You'd come out of a show and lots of people around, that the feeling is a lot safer. So I think having more people around, and we notice it now, if people come in for an event and there's lots of people around, you do feel safer. So I think having people, there's a multiple benefits of having people living close to their work. You know, at the end of the day, I've experienced that myself as an apartment dweller. You can walk everywhere. That's a great way to live. And if we can see more people starting to take up that opportunity at a time where housing is in short supply, and perhaps some repurposing of some of the buildings, that could be a really positive benefit. We also now, from today, will see more people able to come back through the border. So that's another. So that it's the workers, it's the students, it's the tourists and visitors that all make a huge difference if we're talking specifically about the city centre. But for all parts of Auckland, in terms of revitalisation, it's support for local businesses, it's making sure we've got a safe, accessible city that people can get around easily. They're all important things in terms of revitalising and moving forward from what has been a pretty devastating economic, health and social shock.
You mentioned one of the things turning people off of the centre city is what people often identify as the sort of endless construction, all of the noise and all of the obstruction that comes from that. How would you propose we develop the infrastructure needed to have people living in the centre city? You mentioned schools as one thing, while still having it be accessible, you know, not too noisy and not really bogged down by all of this construction.
One of the things that I've been keen to see is sort of better planning of sort of and coordinating some of the activity, because when you've got things happening in multiple areas, that certainly makes it worse. But the city rail link, for example, has been an extreme case of major disruption. I mean, it's destroyed the livelihoods of many people involved. I think people acknowledge that it's going to be a major step forward when we've got it, but it has been a nightmare for affected businesses, and it has affected people's ability to get around the central city. So that is one where it's important that these projects are planned as well as possible, the impact is managed as well as possible, and that we coordinate how much activity is happening at any one time.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.